You're listening to The Ryback Show. Be me.
Welcome to The Ryback Show Live. I am the big guy, Ryback. And today, ladies and gentlemen, plugs will be at the end of the show. We go way back. This is one I've been waiting for. This is knocking out another member of the OG Nexus. The one and only Heath, ladies and gentlemen. Baby.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Well, I didn't get to hear that introduction. I hope it was good, man. I just heard machine guns again.
I don't know what's going on over there.
Man. I don't know, man.
COVID's crazy.
I know. COVID's coming through the internet.
Man, how you been?
Man, I'm good. I can't complain. You know, spirits were high, and now they're at a medium, but I'm going to keep pushing on, you know?
You look great.
Dude, man. my goodness. I feel good mentally, physically. It's one of those things where, like, you know, when some people say, you know, that you get released and everything and you shrivel up and everything, you're like, oh, no. You know, it's like, dude, for me, it was just like, damn, well, I was never going to quit. So it happened. So it's like, well, like, I don't know. It's like that whole weight off your chest type thing, you know, to where, I don't know, it's like my life's way more stress-free now. So, you know, and now I'm getting to spend way much more time with my babies. So that's amazing.
I remember when all this happened, though. You were, man, in doing the home workouts, and you didn't slow down it didn't look like it anyways. And, like, you look like you, it, if you ask me, it looked like it maybe was, it motivated you a little bit in a weird way.
That it 100% did, you know. And a lot of people's always like, dude, how? Like, you were there for so long. There were so many people that knew you, and they were like family for you and everything. And I was like, well, yeah, it ain't like I died or nothing, man. I got a phone, you know. But then again, it's one of those things, like, you know, when some people get released, it's like you never hear from them. And you're like, they're not in that circle no more type thing, you know. And it's kind of weird. But, man, like, I got punched in the mouth, fell on my ass, and said, oh, shit. I got to get back up and keep moving, because the funny thing about it is that I got pretty much smacked in my mouth with, like, a reality of, hey, man, you're like 37 and you're in the WWE. You might as well start getting back in shape and doing your shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, 4 months before I even got released, I had that little bit of fire, like, dang, I'm going to start looking better. I'm going to start doing this. And then I got released and I was like, oh, no. But then again, I'm like, well, I can't stop. I'm not going to stop. We'll keep going.
Man, you've been punched, though, from the beginning. I mean, you've always overcome everything. You're one of my favorite, like, aside from, like, just knowing you, just, but, like, just character-wise, because in knowing, like, everything that you've done and how good you are, you, like, but from the beginning, it's never been easy. But I think, too, people don't understand sometimes, and when I say people, I'm talking about the people, fans watching from the outside, and I can speak from this on all the levels, at various levels there's so much, and just in wrestling in general, that's, it, at the end of the day, it's like acting. You could be the greatest actor in the world, and it's playing roles and roles that are given to you, and then in all that we could do as wrestlers, performers, is unless you have it negotiated where you can fight stuff and it can have an opinion, real strong one on it, is you go out and you just play that role to the best of your ability. And, like, you sometimes, though, when you're playing other roles, it could be really, and you're busting your ass and you see other people come up and doing things. I think it's a testament to how good of an attitude you actually have to continue to do it and to do it and to perform and to always go out there and do whatever is asked from a live event, which most people, I don't think, are going to understand. Our generation and the people before us, those live events, man, no. I think they're a thing of the past, of that schedule. Yeah. Like, it's not easy.
On the grind, you know how it is, man. It was like, there was like years where we were only home a day and a half, 2 days a week, you know, 4 days a month, the only time being home, you know. I mean, you guys are like, I mean, it's legit a family on the road, like it is, you know. And but it's just like one of those things, you know, in wrestling and everything, it's like people won't understand, or they don't understand unless they've been through it and done it. And that's everything in life too. You know, like, you know, you can't say, oh, I've had a baby. I know how it feels like when you're a man, you know, because you can't actually have a baby, you know, but you know how to be a father and take care of one. You know, so it's like one of those things, like, I hate these people out there that's just like, oh, hey, you suck. You lose all the time. You got beat in 12 seconds, you know? I said, well, the damn reason we had a good match plan. Then they said, you know, we lost 14 minutes.
Yeah. You know? No, that happens, man. Oh, you got to go out there and be – sometimes people think it's just knowing moves. It, like, the actual – I actually had that in my notes, too, about how the styles changed a little bit and how – because what we came up with even in developmental and, like, to what things – which I still feel that is highly, highly relevant. But there's a lot that goes into being a professional – timing cues, footwork, and positioning, selling, all these things that
not hurting anyone, pulling the punches right, you know, like all these things add up to it. I mean, just like you said, timing's the key, bro. Timing on anything, and timing even like with the ref, you know, like with him giving you the cues and you happen to like switch the gears and stuff, you know, like there's so much that goes into it to where a normal dude that don't know what he's doing, I'd love to see him, and they'd be like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, we've seen it, but people too, you don't, they don't realize that you very well could be in there dictating and controlling the majority of the match, even though it looks like, you know what I mean? And from the outside looking in, they don't realize you're in there being a ring general, positioning and calling things to make the other guy look as good as possible.
Oh yeah. Watch my legends run.
You're my favorite person, though, just to give a regular tackle to, because you'll take – you don't even need to take a backflip or anything, but you'll take the side deal and do it, and it looks a million times better because it doesn't look fake.
Oh, yeah. Bro, and literally, I always tell you and, like, the bigger guys, I'm like, hey, just give me a little, you know. I just need a little, and they don't give me a little, man. It just sends me like a tornado.
Did I ever hurt you, Heath?
Me?
Yeah.
The only time I would ever, me and Darren Young, we talked about this, in the ring, one-on-one, me and you, no, not at all, ever. But when you were young and crazy in Nexus, and you used to just dive on the dudes and just kill them, and here we are, like, oh, no, wait. And, like, I'm kicking you more than I am whoever you're on top of, you know?
I was trying to get over.
I mean, yeah, I can see. But that's just mentality of you. And I'm like, I mean, it was like with you, it was like, hey, we're ready to kill some people right now. We're going to war. And I'm just like, you lead the way, pal. Let's go.
I would want it, though, for me, like, if you grab me and throw me off, though, that would, like, to me, it look, because that makes it look real. Man, like, you're mad and you want to get some shots in. Like, let me get some shots, asshole.
Yeah,
but as long as I'm not hurting anybody, like if I'm diving into your legs, and I'm like, that's bad because that's dangerous.
You took my knee out one time, and it was one time only. I remember in the back.
There's the headline, Heath. There's Ryback injured Heath Slater. Dangerous.
Dude, tore my meniscus and everything. It was great. Hell no. It was just one of those, you know, you can like kick someone in behind the knee and I go down to a knee.
Yeah,
You, man, you're a big dude. You got shoulders. Like, you were coming in hot.
I'm wide.
Yeah, you're very wide. That's true.
There was, though, in all fairness, that Nexus stuff was crazy because there is that stuff. There's not a lot of instruction out there on that. And it's
no, there weren't.
I will say this, though, and this is important because, like, when you have seven or eight guys out there, and a lot of that can't be all planned on a lot of like just the ground and pound stuff.
Sure.
But I remember like one of the things though, Darren Young was too nice. And what happens though, is you get left out sometimes.
That's very true.
And that's why I was like, I can't get left out. Cause you got to rip me off. And then like Zen, it's, but
you never was going to get left off, man. You were the killer. You were the killer, straight killer at the group.
Matt. What do you remember about this? We're getting, how old are you, 37?
Yeah, man.
I just turned 39 on November 10th. I feel better than ever now, though. I did, when I left WWE, I got my ear and nose fixed when I left. And I lost, I couldn't work out for like 3 or 4 months. And
bro, you've been needing to get that fixed forever, bro. Dude, oh, goodness.
I couldn't breathe through my nose my whole career.
Like at
since
all.
Deep South.
At all.
Dude, you know what I realized? I was in the trainer's room. This was my last year there. Roman got his nose broke. And the trainers, and they go, you got to get this fixed because he couldn't breathe through his nose. And I'm in the trainer's room. They were working on my back. And I go, like, it just happened like a week before. I go, you're going to get, like, I was like, you're getting that fixed? I didn't realize, like,
you could. Just,
like, ow, no, but, like, I didn't, I just was so used to it breathing through my mouth. But once I got it fixed, I was so mad at myself. I go, I could have breathed so much better.
You should have done it way sooner.
Yeah. Like,
and you couldn't breathe. You know, our mindset then, you go, you gotta rewind a decade, you know? So it's like, we weren't thinking like we're thinking now, you know? We weren't. We were just thinking, oh, I gotta make it. I gotta keep going. This is all for me. This is awesome. You know, just soaking up every little moment, you know? So it's like, that's like with me, like all of those crazy ass bumps that I used to take and everything, to where it's like now I wake up, my hip and my lower back always hurts. I mean,
it's like, it really?
Yeah, man. I mean, even like, even with me, and you know me, I never was that stretcher, but like, yeah. I'm stretching more now. But then,
are you?
Well, I am. But then again, I'm thinking like, man, I need to step my game up and start like legit. Hey, man, you're getting up there. Like, you, I know you can probably go another 10 years to 47.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to go after 45. So it's like, I need to find this, like you feel the best you have ever now. And this is 10 years from all this crazy stuff we were doing. Yeah. I need to get there to where I feel good as an older man instead of being like, damn, I wish I was 22 again.
You see, you know what I think it is too? I refuse to like, I don't feel old. Like I feel like my prime years are ahead of me, but see, you've been in the game where I had I've been off for the last 2 years from doing any wrestling, but I changed my diet, dude. I'm going 10 weeks on vegan. Like I've made drastic changes in my life because I've had the time to step back and try different things.
For sure.
And then like all the stem cells and where like I used to wake up in pain like that. Like I thought it was over at 34 and like now it's like, wait a second. I don't ever want to lose this ever again.
For sure.
But I think it's just sometimes you got to – I think it's how we talk to ourselves because you get caught up. Like you say, like, oh, I'm old. I'm like, wrestlers, man, their best years used to be between 35 and 45, 47.
Exactly.
Like, those are the money years.
Yes. That's when you're confident, like too confident in yourself, you know, to where you can just be like, hey, I'm ready for anything. You know?
You just need the body to hang in there.
That's
just
very
true. To be able to mentally do it. But
I mean, that's her whole thing. If her wheels don't work, you know, and her limbs, we can't do nothing. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind to be a manager, but then again, I like to go out there and perform too. But, you know, I just know, I know everyone in their damn life says this. I wish I knew now, or I wish I knew back then what I know now, you know, but it's like, damn it. I had guys saying, hey, slow down on this. You need to do this. And I'm just like, And then now look at me. Like I'm like, damn, I should have listened.
Heath, I talk about this all the time, actually. I feel like I've actually living the movie. I now know what I know, and I've been given my health back. Like, I'm not even kidding when I tell you. Like, from the last day I saw you in WWE, I am a million times mentally, physically, like, I have no pain anymore when I'm anywhere. Like,
dude, that's amazing.
And it's just, I got a little scar tissue left in my shoulder we're doing. But it's been like, I've learned so much and worked with like some people and like with wrestling too. And I go, man, I never want to lose that again. But that's key too. I think when you do this, you want, if you do it to 45, 46, 47, the key is, in my opinion, doing it and then being able to leave and enjoy the rest of your life.
Yes.
And not be like, that was one of the reasons why I was okay walking away and forcing myself to stop, because this was how I envisioned in my head. I didn't think it was going to go this long.
Yeah.
But it was get the health back, never lose it again.
For sure.
And then, because I neglected it on certain things and in that, but like, once you lose it, man, most, you can never get it back. And like, I lived that life of being an old man and losing, like, essentially losing, walking away from fame and TV and, everything, and like, and when you leave there, you know, and I didn't leave in the great, I left in probably not a great way. And I have been very vocal, and you got guys that are there.
Trust me, we know you're very vocal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what's on my damn mind.
I know. I like that. I wouldn't change it at all.
No, but you're one of the reasons, by the way, I wrote that whole blog on pay structure and pay scale. And there is, like, you were in my head on a lot of that because the guys, because I knew just from different things.
Bro, me and you've had a lot of conversations about it too, man. You know, and being there, seeing it is a different thing.
And I'm grateful.
Oh, for sure. And we all are. Yeah. And we lived your dream, man. Like, we actually did.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you were on top of the damn mountain.
Man, I main evented for like 2 years.
I know. Look at
man, you, man. England, Canada, Japan, China.
Everywhere we went.
Switzerland, baby. Ireland.
It doesn't
Nova
matter.
Scotia.
Right back on top.
I beat Cena, I beat Punk, man. I was on top of the world.
No, you beat me like 19 times, man.
I'm going to come before I retire. I got to put you over one time. Ryback.
Man, just whoop my ass and let me grow you up or something.
Let the kids come out. Steph comes running out. Big celebration in the ring.
Hey, it'd be like an Adam Sandler movie with Stone Cold in it. You looking at me like, hey, hit me with the line. Sail for me. My kids think I'm like the man.
Man.
That's cool.
What do you remember?
I'm gonna hold you to this because this is on this damn.
This is on everything. This isn't IG Live. This is saved. This is.
You see that, people? Ryback's gonna put me over.
Ryback says he wants to put Heath Slater over. Do it for free.
We at least get a little payday.
We'll do that Impact AEW crossover when I debut. Despite debut after almost 5 years, and we just put you over.
Dude, don't tell nobody. I saw it on the sheet. You just ruined your surprise and my good finish.
You imagine you're in the ring doing a little crossover for AEW. Music hits and you just beat me, and that's the last you see of me.
You just walk out, look at the camera, give a wink and walk. I like it.
Go do a little run in Japan and then retire.
I think the fans would appreciate it.
It might get me more over, actually.
Man, you start tagging.
You'll have a run with that. Man. People don't realize have you won? Is it 7 tag team championships?
I don't know, man.
You've
I want to say it's 5. I don't know.
Well, it's a handful either way.
I've had it a few times, man.
Be out of everyone in Nexus. So as far as championships, you got the.
Hold on, you have.
I only had one, the IC title, which
by the US too.
No, I lost on the way out on that. That was my last one.
At least you had the IC title, man. That's the only one I've ever wanted.
Oh, yeah. I remember you told me. You know what's something I think I've talked about it before, though? One of my favorite – people ask me all the time one of my favorite moments in WWE.
Yeah.
It's the match sucked because of the Mark Henry's pod broke. And then everything – I was the next one out after that. My hot comeback was supposed to be against Stu and somebody else. Stu was already out of the match.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that was planned was out. So I had to blow a hot comeback on Mark Henry, who wasn't even supposed to be in there when I was in there.
Yeah.
And he tried to take my head off in the middle of me just firing up on him. I shoot duck and I'm on. I go, no, this is my hot fucking hot comeback.
I just came out.
Yeah. And but I remember, man, in the back, I was completely, because I was always in my own bubble. I was hurt. I was unhappy already.
Yeah.
But I remember there was you in a group of people that were there, but you were in the front, man, clapping. And that was my favorite moment because I go, man, that's like real. It was a cool moment.
Yeah, it's friendship, man. Yeah. It's fair, man. Like, I love you. I've always loved you. I've loved you today since you came up to watch when we were watching Raw and WCW TNA. When it was TNA came on Mondays and Raw was too.
Yeah.
And it was like a thing. I remember you coming up with your damn 14 containers of daggone, you know, food that you prepped.
I had those cartoon steaks.
Yeah, very true. And you walking in and you looked at Steph and you're like, am I allowed to eat in here? You know, in the living room? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. And then next thing you knew, you took your shoes off and put them over neatly and not walk on the carpet. And she literally was like, man, I like him. Like, he is a very nice gentleman. I said, hell yeah.
Anyway, don't ruin it for people. A lot of people hate me, Heath. That's not going to help.
I'm sure there's some people that hate me too.
No, we lived in Mallard. Was it Mallard Croft? Not Mallard. Bayside.
Yeah, Bayside was the road. Was that the name of the complex?
It was Bay something.
Shit, I forget, man. That was a while ago. You were right below me, man.
Yeah, you and Dakota Darso.
Yeah, smash.
And I remember you guys, and Brett DiBiase was around, and there always used to be little BBs all around. Like, there'd be BBs all by my apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Brett was out there firing those damn BBs all the time. I go, man, look at these damn BBs all over the place.
Yeah, I remember they would always try to ambush people, man. I got hit too many times to where, like, I went and got me one to where they came, and they're, like, thinking, ha, 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 I got you. You know, then I walk out, I'm like, bah, 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 bah,
bah. I'm locking their ass up. It's crazy to look back. I was just talking to Chris, Kalen Croft, Chris Gage.
How the hell is he doing?
Dude, so good. He's one of the few people I talked to him on Voxer occasionally. Yeah. We just joke around because he's still living. He's a wife and he has a house out there off of near like Howard, kind of where all the.
He lives in Florida still.
Yeah. And he has his own business now. He was a teacher and then now he's like a motivational coach and like he's. Oh. He's doing really, really well. And
didn't he paint a picture for you with you on top of a world or something? Yeah.
Dude, I got it hanging up still. And not hanging up. It's upstairs in my game room, though.
That's cool.
It was Terminator Ryback standing on top of the world. That was.
Of course it was.
Such an asshole. That was my, though, the beginning, like my secret stuff of envisioning.
You got to put that out.
Yeah, I'll put a picture of it for you and tag you in it.
That's great.
That was my dodgeball, though, of him grabbing the bull by the horns.
Right? What got me, man, is that you walked in your apartment and your TV was there at the couch, and that picture was like center wall.
Yeah.
You know, just hanging. And I remember every time I walked in, I'm like, man, that actually looks good, you know? And it took me forever because I didn't know he drew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, damn, you can draw like that? Like, draw one of me, like posing like that. I want an American flag cape, too.
he could do it. I'll never forget, actually, Wade, after I broke my ankle, though, some of the guys came over, and I was in the apartment, and you guys were getting ready to go out and have a good time, and I'm just stuck in there, and I was like, man, but I'll never forget, Stu walked in, and I had a check on the wall. It was from The Secret, and it had on it $1 million. And he goes, he breaks out laughing right away.
Of course.
And he goes, what the hell is this? I go, that I'm gonna make that in my first year wrestling. And he literally belly laughed on the floor in front of my face. And and then later on, I go, hey Stu, I go, you remember that check on the wall? I made that happen.
He probably like, yeah.
No, but it was like just little memories, man. I forget, man. It's crazy how time flies.
Oh, goodness, it goes by so fast. Hey, wait till you have a kid. It goes by way faster, too. That check, do you still have it?
No, I got a new one printed by my bedside. With a number on it far greater than that one. And
baby.
Where if Wade saw that one, he'd probably just completely give up on me. But
hey, if he ever comes to Vegas, man, invite him over for a steak and show him it.
I need to, but I haven't had it. I'm going on 10 weeks vegan now.
You did say that. My bad.
No, man. I'm not like one of those, like, what did you can't talk about steak, man. I loved it. It was.
Oh, I know you loved it. You loved it. You got me loving it more than I should love it.
I ate too much of it. I was eating pounds a day. That's the problem. And it's not healthy. And I just decided to change because and I'm seeing it now. Like, my cardio's gotten better.
You haven't lost no size. I mean, my goodness, you're big as hell and more vascular, too. Like, I mean, but then again, you've always been legit, like spot on with like, oh, I have to drink this many jugs of water a day. Oh, I have to eat this. I have to put this in me. I have to put that in me. And here I am like, well, I mean, I might have 3 meals a day, you know.
That's what I do. I do only 4 meals a day now. I cut back and do – I look at everything now, though, from like a micronutrient standpoint and antioxidants. Uh-huh. You know, like all the stuff they tell us as kids, like eat your fruits and vegetables and like – but nobody ever tells you why. That's the problem.
Hey, that is true.
And I talk about this, like my dad used to always yell at me, and my dad would be in the, I'd be like, this was in the beginning of my bodybuilding, like in powerlifting, and I'd be cooking steak and chicken breast late at night. And he goes, what are you doing making all that damn food for still? He goes, make some vegetables. And he'd be sitting on the couch eating a drumstick ice cream. And But he never explained to me, like, Ryan, here's the reason why you should be eating, because he didn't know.
Yeah.
And
it's one of those things, too. And if he just tells you it,
yeah,
but he doesn't do it himself, you ain't going to really believe it, you know?
No. Yeah. But we all, that's the problem, is we don't, no one teaches us. They just tell you, like, eat your vegetables or eat. Yeah. Well, why should I eat my fruit in the morning? And you need to know these things. And, like, then when I started learning about it and realizing, too, like, on the plant-based diet,
yeah,
you get so much protein on it. I eat over 300 grams of protein a day still, doing four meals. It's because you start looking at all these other foods that you never looked at before, because it was always steak, chicken, fish, or whatever. And
it was always steak, chicken, fish, or whatever.
With me, like plates of it. And so, but the inflammation has left the body, is where I was going with it. And I feel better than ever. Like, I honestly feel younger than I've ever been. So I would say, like, I don't tell people, like, oh, you need to be vegan. Like, once you start going that route, I look at the animals now, and I'm learning about it, but I never want to be one of those that say, because I understand it, because I've been on the complete opposite end of it.
For sure.
I just say, like, you should probably just look into eating more vegetables, because it really makes a difference.
Yeah. Hey, say when you, if you do eat meat, you know what I mean? Like, or fish or whatever, what would you honestly say? Like, hey, this is the best one you should eat to get the best, you know, out of it.
As far as eating steak?
Yeah. Or no, just any meat, period, like chicken, steak, turkey, you know, even fish, you know, stuff like that. Like, what would you say if for your body, like, what would be best?
So when you start learning about this stuff and you start seeing that, when you look at the protein content and it's complete proteins, but you look at it from what it does from a cholesterol standpoint and things of that nature and blood flow, all of that, and it causes inflammation as well. If you're going to eat it, trying to get organic grass fed is key. Okay. If you're going to, because a big problem is factory farming with what they're injecting all the antibiotics and the hormones into the animals.
Yeah.
And that's getting passed on to us on that. So, because I never doubted for a second, like our ancestors, we had to survive at points and eat animals, but we weren't doing it every meal, every day.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's where I say, like, and we didn't have factory farming going on.
We have too much at our disposal right now. Yes. Like, it's beyond, like, how can I even say it? Like, it's just, like don't get me wrong. Like, I we're blessed to have all these options, but we don't need all these options, because, like, fast food meat looks like they're going pink bubble gum before they put all this stuff in it and everything and, like, serve it to you. So it's like, what is that? You know,
But
it's nasty.
Would you too? What you start doing is, and for me is, and so to answer your question fully though, eating the leanest meat with the lowest amount of fat, saturated fat, or is always organic grass fed lean cuts. If you're going to do it, okay. Like that's, and, but mixing it, learning about, like, so I do all organic stuff now. And when people hear organic, I used to hear organic and think, like, oh, those weirdos. You know what organic is? It's just normal.
Normal.
Yeah. No pesticides. Nothing. Like, so because the pesticides are causing a lot of problems and can cause cancer and these other things. So, like, I'll do, though, start learning about, like, if you're eating the meats, not doing it all the time, but learning about the powers individually of the different vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And, like, green beans, broccoli, asparagus, cilantro. Like, I didn't know this cilantro. You just cut it up and put it in your meals.
Yeah.
Man, it puts you in the best mood ever. It fights anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Eating it.
You see that? You know, this is what makes me mad, too, is, like, all these pharmaceutical drugs out there, too. When we can eat normal herbs and, you know, vegetables and whatever, and it can still, like, do the same thing. Of course, you probably have to do it for a while to get it in your system to do it at all, but it's like that right there shows you that, you know, you don't need all of that over there. You know?
I tell people, though, and it's an important thing, though, I say, if we fix our food, we fix our mood. And then if we fix our mood, we give ourselves the best chance to be motivated. And when we're motivated, we tend to be able to have more success and be happy. Because it all starts with our food, because life is energy, and what we are consuming directly affects everything else.
Yeah. That's
so it's the one thing we're not taught. So it's kind of, it causes some problems there. So that's why I try to, like, I feel blessed to be able to now to, like, be on the extreme ends of it, of like being probably my damn theme song is called Meat on the Table.
Like, no.
I'm a fraud now.
Meat on the table. I told, tell me this though. You need to get like a here's a 10-minute food survey, like a need to know thing. And you need to just pick out like cilantro, green beans, carrots, whatever, yeah, and be like, did you know that carrots actually do help you see better? You
know, well, I'm putting what the team that I have for Feed Me More Nutrition, actually, we just started putting those out of the benefits of the individual carrots, mushrooms, olives, cilantro.
Yeah. Oh, no. We need you in a kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cooking with the chef.
Talking about it, doing it, you know. Like that's what I like to see. And if I want to see it, I think other people would too.
No, you know what? I get that all the time on my Ryback TV when I do my food videos, because I'm doing all vegan food now. They go, will you start cooking? Because I do my performance meals where I cook all this.
Yeah.
And I actually got a thing now that can actually follow me, a camera that will, it's a Bluetooth thing that where it will follow me in the kitchen where I don't have to even have anyone recording me.
It's like
I just bought it. Yeah. It's like, but you put your camera on it and you turn it on and then it locks it onto you and it stays on you no matter where you go.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
So now I could do my cooking show once a week, probably on Ryback TV.
Well, so you name it.
I got it because you know me, I got gimmicks for everything.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think I'm gonna. Do you smell what the chef is cooking? But it's gonna be SHEFF to Skip Sheffield.
I like that. I like it. Or Chef's Kitchen.
The chef. The chef's kitchen would work, because I might get a lawsuit from The Rock if I do. Do you smell what the chef is cooking?
Maybe.
I don't want to even touch anything.
Yeah.
No. He's the Hansel of 2020. He's too hot.
Yeah. He's a man too.
You don't ever want to say anything bad about The Rock. He got like 200 million followers.
You kind of can't, really.
No.
You know?
What do you?
I can't say nothing bad about
him. He just launched his own natural supplement line like in a second. Like he just do whatever.
Anything. He had a float in the daggone Macy's Thanksgiving parade. And the float was that daggone tank top picture from the 90s.
He's the most successful wrestler. And outside of wrestling now, like
he's just success walking, man.
Yeah,
he's walking success.
Everything he's done. And I'm like, but he's also, though, it also took him a little bit after he left wrestling where he was kind of quiet for a little bit, but he was grinding. And like that's where that patience kicks in. And just, and all of a sudden, man,
he found himself.
That Scorpion King movie, he was like his first really big role.
Big one. I mean, and then that was a tooth fairy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of those like, but then again, it's Disney, so you're like, dang, it's Disney, heck yeah, you know.
Yeah, the momentum just took over, man. I always look at that because wrestling can stereotype you. It makes it difficult. Like
everywhere I go, people say, "Damn, he's Slater."
Yeah.
Hey, you, he's Slater, right? You know, and I'm just like, dang, like it's. But then again, I was Heath Slater for 14 years of my life or whatever. So
you think you'll be Heath Slater again? Because a lot of people, the one thing I want to know, and I see this all the time with you, is we've seen the success and I say success in terms of roles played of Drew McIntyre, Jinder, and as the leader of Three Man Band. I think everyone wants to see Heath Slater. The big run. Do you see it happening here?
Man, it's one of those things. It's like, who knows what the future
never know.
No, exactly. It's one of those things that we're like, if WWE wants another good story from a man that can actually pull it off, it could be good. And then again, there's history behind it. And there's like real life history, like friendships inside and outside the ring, like what we have, you know, and all those boys, you know. So it's one of those things where like there's so much stuff they could do and it could be very good. But then again, it's one of those things where like, who the hell knows? I don't know where I'm going to be at in 2 years. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I have no idea. Would I do it? I mean, hell, who knows? I mean, if the time's right and everything's like adding up, but then again, if the time's not right, then I might have to miss that boat.
Man, I think you need to call out Ken Shamrock on Impact. Just call him out. Ken Shamrock, man, looks better than ever and is still going strong.
Bro, yes. Like, he, like I see him, like, you know, when we were doing tapings and stuff. And he's such a cool dude, too, man.
He's been on the show. And, I love him, man.
Yeah, he's such a good dude. And but he is legit, like, you see him and you know he's, like, you know, 50-some. But you're like, dude, he would whoop everyone's ass in here. Like, everybody. And he looks good, you know?
He can still go.
Oh, for sure. Like, I wouldn't want to fight him. I would love to see you two fight.
Oh, that'd be good, man. I'd go in and skip Sheffield to protect the character.
Exactly. let me be the referee, man. I refereed a few times.
I'll go. What's Skip Sheffield doing at Impact, the Impact Zone? Call out Ken Shamrock.
Right.
Heath Slater's the special guest referee.
Yep. Holy crap.
How are you enjoying it over there, man? I'm so happy to see you, man. It makes me happy.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. The Impact's cool. It really is. The locker room's cool. The people there are cool. They're laid back, you know. But the best thing is that there's communication, you know. Like, if I text or call or email, like, I get a response, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there's communication, and they actually listen to your ideas to where, like, I'm like, dang, like, I'm not really used to this, but
different.
This is, yeah, I was like, this is cool that you guys do this stuff, you know. But like, it's just one of those things where, like, what sucks is this damn pandemic, man. Like,
I
miss the hell out of the crowd, feeding off the people, like, all of that. Like, I miss the people so much, too. And it's not just me, it's everyone. I mean, this is actors, Broadway, singers. Like, we miss the damn people so much to where, like, when you would. It kind of feels like a practice match when you walk out there sometimes, yeah. You know, but you're in full gimmick knowing people's going to see it. So you got to get in the mood, you know, but my goodness, the energy from the people, I miss the shit out of.
That's pro wrestling.
Oh, 100%. It totally is. And, but the whole Impact situation, like, man, like I can see myself there for a little bit, just to legit have fun and find myself again a little bit, you know, and just, you know, find new things out and everything. So, but no, it's cool. It really is.
I remember because you said practice matches, and I always remember in all the developmental, that's what it reminds me of, which is a testament to all of you going out there and performing because you're doing TV without the, because pro wrestling takes the,
Hey, that's my great parent.
That sounds like a big dog.
Bro, he's huge. He's going ape crap.
That bark is shaking.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, he's crazy. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
Heath Slater, ladies and gentlemen, looking at some of you, someone's telling me I'm talking too much. Thank you. It is a talk show. We are live here. We'll have Stang back in 1 second, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I appreciate all of you guys joining me live here on Ryback TV and Ryback Rules on Twitch. Heath is back with us.
I am. Sorry about that.
No, it's baby. We're live. It's cool.
But seriously, man. So get this. So Steph, you know, wanted to get Buddha because Buddha's like 10 years old now. Like, yeah. He's my first kid. Like that's my boy. Ah, yeah. Yeah, you know him. So he's getting up there. So he started getting lazy as shit. You know, just sleeping all the time, laying around, not really wanting to play. I'm like, bro, we gotta get you a buddy, man. Like you need a friend. And then next thing you know, Steph's friend had this deal on a great Pyrenees puppy, and it and it was a monster of the litter though. And I'm like, are they big dogs? And Steph was like, oh yeah, they're big dogs. I said, okay, yeah, I like it then, but I didn't do my research.
They're huge, never, right?
Oh my goodness, bro, he's a polar bear, and he's only 2 years old, and he's taller than me. Like it's insane. So it's one of those things. What are you doing? I'm not talking trash. Babe, I'm live here.
I'll testify for you.
Anyway, damn. Next question.
Yeah, well, no, but those dogs, my neighbor had dogs like that, and they're huge.
Dude, he's a guardian dog is what he is. So, like, he literally, but he's supposed to be like a sheep herdling dog, so he's supposed to be on this land, like acres of land, you know? But he lives, he's a house dog with us, but he's so big, and he, like, patrols like a soldier. Like, he'll go to a window and watch. And he'll go to the front window and watch. He'll go up to the top of my steps at the stoop and just watch out that window. He'll patrol the rooms. He'll go to the door, jump on my door, like, open. I'll open the door. He'll go and patrol the fence line. Like, it's like I have a damn soldier at my house. Anybody walks by my house, all I hear is a, and I'm just like, bear, stop, man. They're just enjoying the day. He's like,
those dogs are intimidating. When I was a kid, I was afraid of my neighbor's dogs because they were so big that they could overwhelm you easily if they want.
For sure.
They're great guard dogs.
Oh, he is. And he's very gentle with the kids. Like, he's a big cuddle. Yeah, he's a big cuddly, like.
Does he think he's like a little baby still and he throws himself?
All the time. He has that mentality because he's a baby. But he doesn't realize that he's, you know, 120 pounds and 6'2" when he stands up.
Damn. No one's coming over to that house.
Bro, I'm telling you, if you think about breaking in, it's going to be hard.
But I was going to tell you, though, the as far as with the matches, I remember down at FCW, one of my favorite things is when people would be doing the practice matches, you'd always scream out, go to the top rope.
All the time, man.
It was Dr. Tom or whoever would just look over. You just go to the top rope. And people sometimes would. If it was a new guy, they would go to the top rope because they thought, like, Heath is telling them what to do. Like, it's...
I'd be like, grab a hose.
And that's what Doc would tell you. Just shut the fuck up.
Doc would always, hey, shut the fuck up. You know?
Oh, man. Dr. Tom, man. That guy, one of my favorite. I credit so much to him as far as just treating me good. It was kind of coming in from different places. But he was the first one to, like, because I had a little bit of fear in me with, like, my training early on and just kind of the wrestling business. And I remember, I'll never forget when Dusty had switched me from Ryback to Skip Sheffield. Yeah. And, like, I had a conversation with Doc. I was like, what do I do? And he just goes, go do whatever you want. Go get over. And I go, I could do anything I want. And he goes, whatever you want to do. He goes, I'll tell you if it's not good, I promise. Yeah. And, like, I that was the first time anybody ever – I never had that because I usually would get in trouble if I did that.
Of course.
And I was like, and that was where I actually started having fun. And I credit him for giving me that. And it was just being normal, like being a good person and a good trainer where he was able to adjust to the talents and he didn't. Yeah.
He's like a chameleon, man.
Yeah.
Like, or he's just a very, 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 very good listener. And it's one of those things, like, when he talks to you, he listens and he talks to you. that he can go from a serious conversation with you right to me just crack up and goof off, and then me and him can have a serious conversation that pretty much ended at him looking at me doing this. You're stupid as hell, man. You know, and I'm like, damn, Doc, come on. But I agree with every statement that you just said. Like, that man can get a hold of you, and he can just sit back and watch and know exactly what to tell you and, like, just find out, like, all you can say about him is that he's a genuinely great human being, a great coach, and I want to say just a damn good friend, just because I know for a fact I can text him right now, and he's going to text me back.
He will.
He will. You know? He is. So, I don't know. I miss the hell out of him.
I miss those times.
Stupid not picking him up. You know, if AEW or even Impact, you know, New Japan, get him as a producer. Shit, come on. He has great ideas.
I really hope he would go to Impact. I mean, AEW, either one. But because having minds like that around, especially for like the younger people, are so important to learning, to passing that knowledge on. Because like today's wrestlers are more athletic than ever as far as athleticism.
Totally.
But the psychology can sometimes, that takes time. Like, I think we all forget, like, that we, I remember when I came in and what I know now compared to what I didn't know for the long, you know what I mean? And like, I think sometimes people, I try now to look at things as like, a lot of guys are on TV younger than ever because there's a new promotions and you forget, like, people will rip them apart, but it's like, they're still early on in their careers. Like, you got to, like,
babies, man.
Yeah.
They really are. They're learning. They still learn. I'm still learning. Like,
it never ends.
It does.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
It does.
And it's crazy because I'm like, damn, I've been in this game for a while, man. Like, I should know some of this shit.
Yeah.
But on a real note, man, like, I still learning, man. Like, it's just crazy. And then some of these kids, man, how they're like, sliding on their knees, jumping through the middle and bottom rope into a DDT and shit. I'm like, damn, like, if I tried that, like, it would be ugly. Like, so ugly. Oh, I might have one day. It just gets stuck in the rope.
Right? That should be the character. You can't pull off any of it.
And let me at least try to get a push first. And then I can go back to that goofy
Do like a Santino Marella character of that where you can't – you try to be all the cool high-flying guy, but you just can't quite –
I go to the top rope to try to flip to take the back bump.
You'd be on Botchamania every week, man. Just
every week. Hey, I don't think I've ever made Botchamania.
You never botched?
I mean, I'm sure I have, but then again, I might be a good adapter, so I just adapted to it. If people are like, "Oh, he just was shaking his hips," you know?
No,
But seriously, like, I would like to know. Like, I would like to see if I was on Botchamania because I love watching that chat.
Some of it's good, man.
It's so good. But
it happens to everybody at some point.
Everyone, yes, it does.
People won't let me forget. Because I used to do all the power moves and catch guys every night off the top rope. And like, man, there's so much people didn't see. But then there was the one Tenzai one on TV, the shell shock, where I couldn't get him up, which I got him up the week before. But that one, and then Paul Heyman on a live event, and where I couldn't get him over my head. And people, they're like, "You botch all the time." I'm like, man, it was like two out of like thousands. Like,
exactly. And you had three people on your shoulders once.
It's the price you pay of being on TV.
Very true. And it's the price you pay for being a big dude wanting to put everyone on your shoulders, too. And Tenzai's huge. He's huge. And Heyman's shaped so awkward. So,
Paul didn't want to get – Paul wanted me to pick him up like the other guys I used to pick up for the shell shock where I used to throw him up over my head rather than pick him up like the angle slam kind of. I remember I told – I go, "Paul, I don't think I can get you up that way." "Ah, you'll be fine. You're strong. You're like Brock." And he walked away, and I'm like, no, there's no way I'm getting him up. But me, I'm like, whatever, we'll try it. Like,
for sure.
And then we get out there. I couldn't clear his stomach over my head. And I was like, it was physiologically impossible to like get this guy. The dimensions were not going to work. And then he starts freaking out. Like, he goes, oh God. And he's moving his feet. I go, "Paul, just slow the hell down." And then I picked him up and said, "Get him the deal." And man, it was.
You should have put more baby oil on top of your head, man. Slide back up of it, you know?
It was my fault. I wanted to ask you, man, if you were to, though, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time.
Yeah.
Man, what would you say was your favorite moment of Nexus?
SummerSlam if we wouldn't have lost. That's a fact.
Yeah.
We all, everyone knows the story. It's out there. But damn it, yeah. We showed up at LA winning. We were.
Going we all over. Thought we all thought we were going over that night,
bro. Agents told me.
Yeah.
We were going over.
I don't think anyone told me anything actually, but it's
4 hours before. You know, like,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
It changes everything, you know. And I'm just like, what the hell just happened? And then, you know, we all know what happened. And then we're just like, what the fuck? But that moment. That main event with all those guys in there with us and
Bret Hart,
dude. I know, you know.
We wrestled. I took a chair shot from Bret Hart. You wrestled Bret Hart.
Oh, I wrestled Bret Hart
multiple times.
There's so many times, and it was. I'm so proud of it too. But
he wanted to work you though, didn't he? He knew he could go in there and have good matches with you.
Yeah, man, and that makes me just smile because I was a Bret Hart fan. You know,
man.
Did you have like a Bret Hart stand?
I had the glasses and stand. Man, he was. I loved all the power guys, but for whatever reason, I loved him and Sean because they could work. And I didn't know it, but that was the reason why.
Yeah, that's true though. You know, it is. And just being able to get in the ring with him and have some fun, but it's like, it was like Madison Square Garden, you know, sharpshooter, him beating me. In Calgary, what's that big arena over there? It looks awesome.
I know what you're talking about.
It looks like a big boot on the top of it, or like a saddle or something. But that spot to where it legit was sold out, and it's like
he's Canada. He's Mr. Canada.
He's
as over as anyone in Canada.
He needs to be the mayor of Canada, or is it? Do they have a president? I'm gonna
stay quiet on it because I don't know and I don't want to.
Please, dude. I just made myself look stupid as hell. I'll be the dumb one there. Damn
it. I don't talk politics on here, Heath.
but yes, I want to say, I want to say first the invasion, Miami, when we really destroyed and killed everything. That was amazing.
I'll never forget going into that with we all thought we were getting fired or something.
Yeah, we were done with NXT and Wade's one. You know, so we're all like, well, fuck, he's just gonna, you know, face to face fire us.
Go back to developmental. Like nobody wanted something. Once you get a taste of it up there either, you can't go back.
No, you don't want to. No, not at all. But yeah, man, you know how pretty much how he was just telling us, you know, we can do whatever the hell we want, just don't hit no fans and touch any cameras. And he was like, pretty much, I want to make it look like a bomb went off. And well, here we are just looking around like, damn, really? Is this really happening? Oh, here, you all got to wear these. Handed us all the bands and everything.
Yeah.
Damn. That band ruined so many of my dress shirts because that Velcro underneath, man.
Oh, yeah.
It ruined.
I used to hate wrestling is right because I kept wearing those damn things. Mm-hmm. I used to have to put tape around them. Yeah. So that they wouldn't, because they'd rip up the inside of my arms. People don't realize. So I had a technique where I put tape so that the actual, because of that Velcro starts rubbing on your arm. Oh, my arms would be torn up, man.
And that's like tender part underneath there too. Yeah. You know? So yeah, that shit hurts.
Oh, man, great memories on that. I remember Jericho pulling us aside and saying, and it's so funny early on that. He goes, you guys don't realize what you have. Like he goes, you guys, because he was a little hot, because I think we had a live event match. They didn't go great. There was some. I don't know what the match didn't go. The crowd was great, but we needed to step up because we got thrown into the main event, and there was a lot. We're all trying to work as a unit all of a sudden.
For sure.
But it was one of those, and he just gave. It was kind of like get your shit together. You're in the main event now, but it was like you guys. You may never be in the main event again ever after this. Like you don't realize what you have right now. And I just remember like thinking like we look back, I go, man, how true is that though? Like I was blessed and lucky to come back and do some stuff as Ryback. But when you're in the main event and even had it taken away as that, it's a very special thing.
It's so true. And I totally remember him doing that too. I remember that blatantly, him being like, hey, this is probably going to be the most, you know, the top of the mountain you're going to get.
Important thing in your career is possibly.
Yes, yes. And it's so true, though.
But we're looking around like, man, we're made of
it. Yeah. Come on, man. I'm young.
Man, you hear that crowd?
Right? That's for me.
We don't realize that crowd, those boos, because we're working with really over people, too.
Over as hell.
As over as anybody at the time, man. It was
it's true. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun, man. It was good memories, good times, good fun. And then Hawaii happened.
I know, man. It's I'll never forget it. That was, but
damn,
I'm grateful for all of it. And I'm hoping one day, man, we'll see what happens with everything.
That's true. One day, who knows? Who knows, being real?
You never know. Yeah.
I just remember you being the most strongest mentally and just focused dude on the team. And I remember when that happened, everybody just was like like the winds went out of the sails a little bit.
I felt so bad because it was, you're letting everyone down essentially.
I mean, we're in battle when it happened, bro. You know, like,
I know, but I remember that period. And I always say, man, people, you guys in PJ always came and guys, you guys came over at various points.
Yeah.
There was Wade would always go eat with me for that. That was a tough deal, man. That whole thing.
Sure, yeah,
but I'm so grateful. It sucks because it kind of forever changed me in WWE, but it also allowed me to have my mindset that I have now. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for it. As much as it sucks, I'm grateful for it still.
Yeah.
But
I must say, and that's you getting stronger, you know, from that point on, you know, and it changing yourself and adapting.
I would never have been able to have the main event run as Ryback if that didn't happen, because that put a chip on my shoulder. That was what kind of changed me forever, I think.
Yeah, very true, man.
Yeah. And then I was too nice. No, I would never have spoken up for myself. I learned to speak up because they fired me and I had to speak up for myself.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Tom actually helped me a lot with all that. But like, I think that's where I became a man as far as like learning how to take care of myself. And like,
a lot of good came from that. I still remember that. You tell me, yeah, they're trying to fire me. I said, no, you ain't.
I literally
no, you ain't.
I might be the only guy in the history that they fired. I got the paperwork and they didn't fire.
Dude, I know, it's crazy.
And I came back and had the whole run as Ryback. It's insane.
They probably thought, dang, he has us in a great lawsuit. We got
moon. It was unfortunately.
And then you looked like a machine, your music was damn badass, and you came out looking like holy crap. It was real though.
I was angry. I used to sit around the ring though, and I know they got microphones. I remember talking to Darren, whoever was down there. I'd be, fuck this company. This was when I was back. I was so angry, but that played out on TV in a working way. Cause I was like, ain't nobody firing me and stopping me from doing this now. But then it was also the thing that also limited me. I feel, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
hey man, through and through, here we are. We still good.
We got our health. You got your family, everything,
damn
man.
Right, man.
I think our best years are still in front of us with everyone. Stu's back in the game, back at NXT, commentating.
Hey, who knows, man? He might want, you know, Nexus to come back for a second.
You never. Well, I don't know. It's going to take a lot for to get me back.
I mean, it's going to take a couple years for me too, though. So.
I want to, before I wrap up, though, how are you feeling with everything? I know you had the injury with the groin deal.
Man, I know.
You just get back, you're going. I blame it on there being no crowd. You don't have the energy.
I wasn't warmed up, man. Honestly, this is what sucks, is that, like we were talking about before, the garage workouts, me getting released, me getting a fire, me getting focused mentally and physically, and my life group has legit helped me a lot from that. You know, I've been going to church more, you know, and my preacher, Nate Seaman, you know, he's awesome, man. Like, he is just a genuinely great dude my age. We get along, you know. So I feel like, and Steph, man, she's been in my corner. I mean, you know that, you know.
You got pictures for people to go look on social media, man. Literally, when you say, man, you guys have been together, she's been with you from the beginning.
Yeah, man, since like 15 and 17. So
you look the same too, man. It's crazy.
I age like a fine wine, baby. but the whole mentally focused, ready. I went into that damn match and I was supposed to fucking win it, you know. So I'm like, damn,
oh God.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey. I'm going to look good as hell.
This is your big moment.
Man.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just like, that's like out of a damn movie.
It is. It's going to be a book, man. I'm going to do a book.
You're going over at WrestleMania, man.
Exactly. Oh, so I get in. three moves I hit for the last 15 years of my damn career.
All the time.
All the time. I slide in, Hopkins, or, you know, Myers now, throws that clothesline. I duck, hit that neck breaker, and it felt like someone stabbed me in my damn gut with a knife. I said, oh, God, what the hell's that? So I get up, I hit the leg lariat thinking, whatever, I'm good. Hit the leg lariat, I just dropped to my face. I said, what the hell's happening? You know, I'm trying to pull myself up. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I hit my big knee on the big Reno scum brother. I go to the top rope, and, like, they got a picture of it. And I think it's the one I posted right there. I literally looked at the ground. I said, I'm fucked. You know, like, this is it. Like, and I'm that guy, like, even if I'm supposed to win, whatever, you know. But if I can't contribute, you know, afterwards, like, why should I even do it, you know? So it was one of those things where,
you knew you were hurt bad.
Oh, bro, I could. I've never felt pain like that. Like, I really haven't. Like, it literally felt like every time I moved, someone took a knife and was just, you know, just twisting it. And I'm just,
and for like, people listening, that's a low abdomen. That's like a, it's like a hernia or a core muscle tear?
That's just it, though. It wasn't even a hernia because the person at the hospital said, oh, you have a hernia, you know? So that's what everyone thought. And then I went to a hernia specialist here in Charlotte. He's like, yeah, bro, like, that ain't that. Like, you ripped your abductor muscle off the bone.
Oh.
And you slightly tore your groin. And I just was like, oh, no. I said, do I need surgery? He was like, no. I was like, no. I said, you told me I ripped my adductor muscle off the bone and slightly tore my groin. He's like, yeah, you don't need surgery. Once you rip that adductor muscle, we can only suture it back to the bone. He's like, but you don't actually need that to happen. Like, it's not a surgery that I would say go and do.
Really?
And so I'm like, well, shit. You know, what am I going to do? He was like, you're going to ice and do nothing for about 2 months. I said, dang. Like, you gotta be kidding me, you know? Next thing you know, I went from black, blue, purple, yellow, bruising everywhere. Like, it was like, bro, like, this is bad, you know? Like, I can barely walk, but thank God it's been a month now, a month and some change. I'm walking good. You know, I'm still a little bruised, but not bad.
Any pain?
A little, you know, like, okay. I don't want to say pain, but I want to say, like, it's, like, uncomfortable because, like, you know how sometimes you're in a car and you go down these hills like a roller coaster and you feel your stomach do that little jump? So, like, if I stretch too far or if I, like, walk too fast, like, it feels like that on the left side of my stomach or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, it's just one of those things to where, like, I'm supposed to be back in January, but it's just, like, I'm seeing my physical therapist. I'm hoping for the best. I just don't know. And then, like I was saying with the workouts and the eating and being focused, dude, I got up to like 250 looking good and feeling great. And now I'm 235, lost, you know, 15 pounds.
Yep.
I'm a little like, oh, come on.
It's defeating a little bit because you work to get it, you get there, and then it can go, you can lose it so quick.
Bro, I slid in the ring and hit a neck breaker and lost it.
Yeah.
I lost it, bro.
Oh. You'll get it back. The key is the key in all of this is keeping your diet as good as possible so that you don't get too out of shape. And that way, when you're able to start, and just then when you're able to get back, and then it's a quicker process.
I've been doing that too, man. That's what my buddy said. He said, you better be eating clean.
It sucks so, but like, if you could work harder now on the things like the diet, and it's tough because when you're home, you want to have a few extra drinks maybe, because, like, I've lived it, because if you're not, it's where it's like, but you got to just.
What you do.
It's, if you just hang it, just keep it in control as much as possible. But
moderation is the key, baby.
Yeah. But that's a tough one because I told you I had that with the groin tear on both. They call it core muscle tears. I had to have the surgery because that's why I was asking you where your pain's at. I'm hoping
pain still is like, I can still feel it in my left side of my lower gut to where my pube area is.
Yes.
Leading down into my groin.
Right.
But, you know, it's, you know, whatever connecting that is, you know, that's where I feel it.
I told you though, if anything, for whatever reason, if it's not improving when you got it, I got that doctor that he was the only one in the country they sent me to that had Goldberg actually did the same thing, believe it or not. They said, because the guy, I was like, oh, that's crazy with all this damn shit. But I was like, man, that wasn't getting better on me because I wrestled with it for one side was torn for almost 7 months when me and Axel were tagging. Yeah. And then we were doing a tag match against the Shield in the UK, and Roman gave me a Samoan drop. And that same thing, the other side fired off. It was like a gunshot went off right down there. And I go, I can't do with both sides. I told Axel, like, I felt bad. I go, I gotta go home. Like, I gotta get this fixed. But I'm open.
Man, I kind of feel like, you know, that's gonna be my story.
but at least know it can be fixed.
It's one of those things. Like, I know my right side's compromising from my left, and I know, like, I can feel other muscles getting, you know, I don't want to say weaker, but more like more tense, I guess.
Yeah.
Just because I know they're compromising for what's going on in the groin and stuff.
It's the worst pain, and it's your core, and you can't. It literally. And no joke though. Mm-hmm. But I would look into seeing if they would maybe just schedule something with the doctor, the guy, just to get his, because it'll save you. It'll end up saving you a month at the very, regardless. And like, at least it'll give you peace of mind because he's the only doctor. That was 5-6 years ago that was doing it. Maybe there's more now, but it's such a rare injury.
They said a lot of people that's like NFL punters.
Yeah.
And it's not common players.
Yeah.
So like they're the
soccer,
ones.
Soccer. Yep. That's what they told me.
The ones that usually get that injury and everything.
But hopefully, because I tell you, man, it's the toughest pain I ever.
It's a bitch. It is. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
That's what I feel for you because I never wanted. Like, I didn't think it was ever gonna go away. Like, even after they fixed it, I was scared when I came back. I had the black and blue everywhere. Man, it was.
It's bad.
Anyways, man, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know you got your family. You got kids.
And have kids.
They need their daddy.
We're about to make some snowflakes.
Man, I love – makes me so happy to see you have just everything. You have, man, with Steph and the kids. It's just
– it's going good, man. Yeah. I can't complain at all, and that's a fact.
Just enjoy each day. You have success and happiness already.
Damn
so.
Right.
That is – I tell people – and I've learned it being home. I go, man, success ain't winning no WWE championship or any. Success is having peace and happiness. And I found that in my time home. And I feel like you have that with your family. Yeah, and to me, there's so many people that have that never find that no matter how successful they are in life. Yeah. And I was like, that's true happiness and success.
Yeah, nothing beats a peace of mind, man.
No. Tell them I said hello, please.
And, I will for sure.
Anything to Instagram, social media, to any buy your t-shirts for Christmas?
They're so good too. Instagram is Roman numerals XXII, and that's with Twitter too. I got Cameo. I'm on Pro Wrestling Tees. I'm working with Grudge Match Brand. Like, you know, we got some stuff going on happening. You know, Collar and Elbow. I've got the Stein shirt out. It's like ugly as hell, but people might like it.
The collar and elbow shirts are my favorite, man. They're so comfortable.
Yeah, they are, man. They're and the people that's like running is like some good people too.
Is it Al Snow run that or no?
Well, Al Snow's like the head of it, you know.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
And then there, you know, you have Dave Hero and you have Rod and all that stuff, like other guys that like is in office. So it's some good little crowd up there, man. I actually did this damn signing in Kentucky at this Lemon Juice McGee's. That's his name, Lemon Juice McGee.
That sounds like something in Kentucky. I lived there for 3 years.
Yeah, right. like some comic cavalcade thing, and it's like Collar and Elbow has a lot of stuff to do with that too. So like, I went there and said some hi, bye to some fans and all that good shit.
Is that the virtual signing thing?
It was on there. Yeah.
Okay.
It was me and him, and then like we had like a VIP little package set because all these new rules with COVID and all this stuff. So you can only have like 4 people at a time and all this stuff. So, I mean, thank God only 7 people came, but you know.
7 more people. That don't matter, Miss 7-7.
Oh, baby, they feel my
7 heart. Happiest people in Kentucky that day, baby.
They love me.
Oh man!
But, well, we need to do this again one day.
Absolutely, but we'll do this. I've had I don't know. I think I've had everyone on Nexus now. Pretty much. I think Otunga's the only one, and Brian.
We should get like a big Zoom call, you know, on this with all of us Nexus members.
And we only answer for super chats, and they got to pay us for the questions and for Nexus questions.
I love it. trying to set that up.
Dude, I could easily set that up.
Yeah,
Stu might not be able to hop in. We'll get everybody else, though. Stu don't need the money. Yeah, he's making that NXT money now.
I know, right? A little rich motherfucker. Hey, but for sure, that'd be fun to do if you could do it.
Good deal, buddy.
People would like it.
Yeah, no, man, I get questions all the time. So with all this, I appreciate you making the time to do it.
Brother, you know I love you, baby.
All right, Heath, have a good one. I'm gonna finish. I got to finish the show here.
All right, baby. See y'all.
All right, baby. Bye. Heath Slater, Heath, ladies and gentlemen. Big thank you to Heath for joining me. I love doing the live shows for you guys, and the energy is just better. And it's always good talking to the guys he come up with. It's crazy seeing how time goes by. I can't wait to get back in the ring and be involved in pro wrestling again. It always makes my day. These conversations for me, you know, I don't care if I didn't make a dollar doing them. I do them. They're just it's a way to live life off the phone and catch up with people that, man, you have love and respect for. So big, big thank you to Heath. Oh, the black lung. Oh, man. Choke there. Paying the bills time. Thank you guys for sticking around. For all fan mail, P.O. Box 752-740, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89136. Feed Me More Nutrition, guys. Available on feedmemore.com. Save 20% all of December with discount code HOLIDAY20 on feedmemore.com. Premium supplements, the best supplements on the planet for men and women. Fuel Meals, save 15% with discount code TheBigGuyFuelMeals.com. Personal videos from yours truly, Cameo.com/TheBigGuyRyback. You can get all my merchandise for Feed Me More Nutrition. We got face masks, coffee mugs, all different t-shirts on Teespring.com, the Feed Me More store. On there, my motivational book, Wake Up, It's Feeding Time, available on Amazon and paperback, Audible, and Kindle formats. Your iTunes or Stitcher reviews are always greatly appreciated, guys. If you could take a moment to leave a review, if you enjoy listening to this show or the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report with myself and Raj Giri every Friday morning, those really, really, really do help us out. And friends of the show, Zevia, Stevia Sweet and Soda, Trupanion, the pet insurance of Sophie and Little Guy, BioAccelerator, the company that has helped me get my health back, and sending me down to Medellin, Colombia. Guys, I can't say enough great things about them. I've had 13 procedures here in the States. It wasn't until I went down there that I really, really knew that I was going to be able to recover fully, because the stem cells are so much more powerful down there. So if you or a loved one is in pain, just check them out, inquire on their rates, on their services, and see if it's something that they may be able to work with you on getting treatment. All the top strongmen, UFC athletes, pro wrestlers, guys, everyday regular people with ailments, that surgeries, they didn't want to go to the surgical route. Like, I've gotten my health back. I avoided a 5-disc fusion and shoulder replacement, and I'm going to come back at 39 years old better than I've ever been physically, mentally, and hit the ground running. Like, I already know it, and I know it because those stem cells have helped given me the confidence, have given me the gift of health back. So I cannot say enough good things about this company. They're the real deal. The real deal. Follow me on social media, The Big Guy Ryback 22 on IG and TikTok, The Ryback Show, Feed Me More Nutrition, and Ryback TV on Instagram, Ryback on Twitter, and Ryback 247 on Snapchat. Thank you guys very much. As always, your love and support is always, always greatly appreciated. I love you guys more than you know. Thank you for listening. You've just listened to another episode of The Ryback Show. Feed Me More.